Christ's birth and kingdom are foretold by Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done, as people rejoice when they harvest their corn or when they divide captured wealth. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and he will be our ruler. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His royal power will continue to grow. His kingdom will always be at peace. He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice from now until the end of time. The Lord Almighty is determined to do all this.
The angel Gabriel meets the Virgin Mary, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you, the Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king as his ancestor David was. And he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I'm a virgin. How can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative, Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old, for there is nothing that God cannot do." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her.
St. Matthew tells of the birth of Jesus. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This was how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this happened in order to make what the Lord had said through the prophet come true. "A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," which means God is with us. So when Joseph woke up, he married Mary, as the angel of the Lord had told him to do. But he had no sexual relations with her before she gave birth to her son. And Joseph named him Jesus.
The birth of Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that there came a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
It was a dark and stormy day, with cloud coming right down over the mountains, strong winds whipping up the sea, and from time to time, lots of heavy rain. In fact, the weather was very similar to the weather that we've been having in the last few days here, I think. If it was England, it wouldn't be surprising. But that was in the Solomon Islands in the South Pacific, and there it was surprising to have that kind of weather. And we were looking very carefully at the weather on that Saturday morning, trying to decide if it was going to be safe to make a long canoe journey down the length of the Roviana Lagoon to a small village called Harpai. Myself and two or three of the schoolgirls were due to go to Harpai that Saturday afternoon, stay the night there, take the service on Sunday morning, and then return to school on Sunday afternoon. But the more we looked at the weather, the more discouraging it was, and the more I thought, well, we're just not going to get there. It's going to be too dangerous to do that this afternoon and this weekend. So when the weather hadn't really improved very much at all by midday on Saturday, I was quite surprised that the headmaster and the canoe driver decided that it would be safe enough to go, as long as we kept inside the lagoon. Well, it was a long, dark, and dismal journey, and when we stopped at a small village en route to drop off one of the other schoolgirls who'd come with us, the large saltwater crocodiles that they'd penned up just beside our landing place reminded us that there were other things to be worried about apart from the weather. It was my first visit to that area, and by the time we arrived at Harpai, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, wet, bedraggled, cold, I thought it might be my last visit to that area too. And as it worked out, it actually was, but not from choice. However, when we got there, we were well welcomed and we settled in and spent a comfortable night. And by the next morning, the storm had cleared away. We got up early and we went up to the early morning prayer meeting in the little church on top of the hill. And while we were there, the sun came out from behind a cloud. It lit up the church, it lit up the village, it lit up the whole of the lagoon. And the view from there, right along the lagoon, was absolutely beautiful. The whole area just looked like a tropical paradise, and it could not have looked more different than the night before. In our meeting, one of the older men talked about the coming of light to that area, the coming of the gospel to his area, and the amazing difference that it had made to everybody's life in that area. And even our hymn told the same story. with that transformation, when the bright sunshine came out, it was very easy to see why the picture of Jesus as the light of the world was so meaningful for the people gathered in the chapel that morning. So as we look at the Christmas lights in our streets, on the Christmas trees, in fact, almost everywhere you look this Christmas, there seem to be very nice Christmas lights. It's a time for us to remember too, Jesus, the light of the world, coming into our world as a baby on that first Christmas day. And let's also remember that Jesus came not only to be the light for a world in darkness, but also the light for all of our lives. So then we can only really fully know that joy of Christmas when we have invited Jesus Christ into our own lives to be that light for us, a guiding light for us all through the year. Think about it when you put your Christmas tree lights on this afternoon.
Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. The shepherds go to the manger. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in the manger." Suddenly a great army of heavenly angels appeared with the angels singing praises to the God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to them whom he is pleased." When the angels went back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back singing praises to God for all that they heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. The wise men are led by the star to Jesus. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judea. For from you we will come a leader who will guide my people to Israel.'" So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star has appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I may too go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star that they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were! What joy was theirs! It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in the dream not to go back to Herod.
The reading is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, the word of life. In the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God, and the word was God. From the very beginning, the word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The word was the source of life, and this life brought light to humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell the people about the light, so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on everyone. The word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him. So he gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as children of a human father. God himself was their father. The word became a human being and full of grace and truth lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only son.